Welcome to the Round 19 Supercoach Coach podcast, and this week I'm back again with FB Donkey.
G'day, Marcus. Good to be back, mate. What a shit round of Supercoach.
And just made it all the more painful that we were split up by that split round, that bye.
Really dragged that one out.
But one thing I can be happy about is in the second week of the split round, I managed to turn around a cash league game, and that was a bit unexpected, but still was not enjoyable having to go through, you know, that whole week thinking I was going to lose that league game. So we'll be glad to have all eight games clocked in one weekend again this week. How'd you score, Mark? It was a big scoring round. There were some absolute monsters. Steve Johnson hitting 140 again, Beamsy 159, some of the popular players just going huge.
Sorry, did you say it was a big scoring round?
Yeah, huge.
Oh, I must have missed all of that one. Yeah, I dropped from like 460th to 988th. It was an absolute shocker for me. 2183. I know plenty of people posting 2600 plus at a Sandilands donut. Got Walker sitting on my bench. I'm sure plenty of people had that sort of stuff happen, but just missed all the big scores as well. I had the two Geelong boys, but other than that, my highest scoring player in the midfield was Pendlebury with 110. So Jack, Libber, Murphy, Kennedy, Pendles and Fifel together let me down a little bit. Oh, bloody Pavs just turned to shit. And not very happy this week, mate. And looking forward to starting again this week.
Things can't get much worse, I think, from that point at least, Mark. I only went a little bit better than you, not the huge 2,600 scores that we saw out there, 2,366. So, you know, relatively disappointing as well. I had Goddard 68, Pavlich 40, Guns didn't fire, and I stuck the C on Kennedy instead of Selwood, Johnson, Beams type, because the Vice was also on 5. So some points missed out there. Just hoping for a rebound, Mark. I was getting so excited about that top 100, and yeah, we'll just hope for better things, eh?
So what's the ranking now?
167th, so not too bad.
Top 100 still within sight.
Still within reach. And
you do seem to get like really close and then just get whacked every time.
Yeah, it's like the fantasy gods going, no, no, you're not good enough.
This has been happening for a few years. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but that would be pretty painstaking.
And on to this week, Hibbard's out. So we just heard that 2-3 on the AFL website. And he'll be a main point of discussion this week. Obviously, we're running a bit low on trade, so more focus on the injuries.
We should mention also Supercoach Coach still has the number one league in the country. How holding on to that for a few weeks with 5 weeks to go, though, and a lot of unknown stuff to happen. Anything could happen. And in a pretty good battle with the Fantasy Footy Club these days.
We've been pipped up the post by Fantasy Footy Club and Supercoach Elite for year after year, so it'd be nice to get one ourselves. And considering, Mark, you had a pretty icky score in the Aces, I think we're holding up pretty well. The rest of the boys, I think you'd probably be close to the bottom of the ladder there, which is a good thing. So hopefully the guys can keep it up.
Jeez, mate, rub that in.
No, I'm just saying it's a good team effort. The boys are doing well. We're doing well.
I'm sitting eighth. I'm in the top eighth, but maybe lower on ranking overall. But yeah, I think from a league perspective, we have 13 people that can make the finals with one game to go.
All right. Sorry, Mark. Sorry to put you down there. No, you are doing well.
Just rubbing it in, mate.
Top 1,000 is good. It is good.
Well, I don't think I've got many more weeks sitting in the top 1,000, to be honest. I've had a bit of fun this year, though, and I've gone pretty aggressive. And I mean, I've learned a few lessons, and I'm pretty happy with that. And I went into the year with that attitude and quite willing to do that. And the one good thing that's keeping me together is the Bombers.
Yes.
Heard he's back in town. Bombers are winning. Carlisle's like the greatest forward of all time.
Yeah, at least the footy's going well. All right, we'll move on to a question now from Matt Cash, and he's asked that on Facebook. So thanks again to our community for your questions there. Don't forget to keep them firing for the rest of the year. We're getting a bit light on, so you know, make sure you get on there, facebook.com/supercoachcoach. We take our questions every Tuesday, and Twitter, we're at supercoachcoach. So again, Matt Cash asks, what's the cheat code to get unlimited trades, Mark?
You got to go up, up, down, down, enter. And then you got to press Control Shift Backspace.
Yeah, I think, yep, got it. Yes, so pumped. We're all getting really low, Mark. So lead on to that one is Matthew Donnelly's question, and he's asking, if you're down to your last trade, should that be kept in case of emergency, or are you still using that to create more flexibility in between lines?
Great question, and I have a pretty strong philosophy on this. I am down to one trade, and I had Andrew Walker get injured for the rest of the season, but he hasn't created a donut for me. I can bring Luke McDonald or Jeremy Laidler onto the field, so I have a little bit of cover there, and I figure with 5 rounds to go that trade is best used for covering a donut, because there could be some sort of situation that comes up where two players get injured on one line or something like that, where I'm facing 3 donuts going for the rest of the year. And I think that I'm going to get the best benefit from that one trade, saving it till at least 3 rounds to go in case that situation sort of occurs.
100% agree with you, Mark. I could have done Walker to Mitchell. I had 2 trades, so, you know, I would have still had 1 trade left. I have 2 premiums on bench, but I don't think it's worth you bringing in a premium to replace a rookie.
And I guess it depends a little bit what your aim is. I mean, if your aim is for the leagues, then you want to save those trades for when you're in probably a knockout league game or a must-win league game coming into the finals. Mm-hmm. And you might want to just use it then and just go for it, depending on what your sort of goals are.
All right. Next question is from Dean Phelps, and he's asking about Hibbard. So he only has the 1 trade left, and Hibbard would mean obviously going down to nothing. So Hibbard's only a 2 to 3 weeker, and Dean's got decent cover. So
the question is, at what point does the cover become so bad that you make the trade? Because there's some defenders that might only get you 30 points a week. And in that case, you might be leaning towards actually trading. But if they're getting 50, 60 points a week, then I think I'd be pretty keen just to hold on until you're facing a donut with 1 trade.
Agree with you there, Mark. And I guess that follows on again with that question from Matt. And Matt, next question is from Blair Dewsbury. And thank you again for your questions, Blair. He's asking whether the league win is possible if you don't have Tom Rockliffe in your team. So another massive game here. And Hanley, Mark. Hanley has gone crazy. I would have liked to see what his season would have been like if he didn't have any injury interruptions. Of course, absolutely firing now.
Wow, you sound like a Brisbane supporter, mate. They're getting a little bit carried away at the moment. I know that was a pretty good win on the weekend against the Suns. Yep, but the Suns were woeful. They did not turn up. It was 130 possessions to 30 in the first quarter. It was not a game that was competitive at all, and they had 3 or 4 people score over 150. It's just not something that you ever see in Supercoach at all, and I think that says far more about the Suns than it does the Lions. Gee, he's a tricky one. He was a fantastic pick from the start of the year. I mean, you'd almost consider picking him as the main reliable to Ablett going into next year. If you had to pick 3 mids and you had Rockliffe, Ablett, and Pendles on the scale, I'm not sure which ones you would pick. So I think you can definitely win your grand final without Rockliffe. I mean, if he's getting 140s and Pendles comes back in form, that sort of knocks it off, or JPK or Selwood, or there's plenty of other midfielders that can average the same as Rocky in the shorter term.
When you're talking, you know, that long-term, season-long prospect, Rockliffe certainly, because of his untag ability, can manage maybe 10 points more than 115 per game averaging midfielder. But absolutely, Mark, on any given day, you would think a Murphy, a Cochin, a Selwood, they all have a pretty decent chance of knocking out a 140. All right, we'll move on to the next question, and it's from James Hawkins, and he's asking about informed ruckman, Mark. So if you're going for the league, Mark, which ruckman do you like for the run home?
Probably haven't done too much strength of schedule, looking into that, just because not having the trades left, it doesn't sort of matter to my team in a sense. Ryder's been in some really good form. Bombers winning has been good, but there's talk of Bell Chambers coming back as soon as this week, seeing as Danaher's out. I think I like Jacobs, who has just been an unbelievable form. He had his lowest score in a while on the weekend. I like Mumford.
The 101, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was a really poor game from Jacobs, the 101, which is great.
Yeah,
great. And I think that probably Mumford would be my second choice. I know Goldstein has probably had a couple of pretty big scores lately as well.
Yeah, I agree with your anointments there. I think Mumford probably has the highest ceiling, probably, and is most likely to hit his ceiling, probably, of all the ruckmen. So in that sense, he's probably the most attractive from a league perspective, I would have thought. And I think Goldstein is another one that, when he hits a big score, seems to go 130 plus. It's just that he can score in the 70s when he doesn't hit them. But he also has big scores in him, absolutely. Yeah, probably lean toward those two. Jacobs is in brilliant form, so if you can afford him, he is the most expensive.
And everyone seems to have gone towards Jacobs over the course of the season. Pretty much every team that I come up against every week has Jacobs in it, every good team. Yeah. I just wanted to point out one more player, and that is Lobby. I think that probably not this year. I had huge doubts on him at the start of the year. I know he was talked up in a lot of circles. I think that I'm warming to him as a potential for next year. He has shown the ability to go really big and doing a real good job for Port Adelaide. Probably not for this year, though.
Okay. All right, I'll keep an eye out. Faz has had him for most of the year before swapping him to Josh Kennedy because Lobi scored 150 and 145 and just shot through the roof. So he's been telling me good things, certainly. All right, next question, and it's about, we're moving on to the forward line, Mark, and Danny14 wants to know, between Boomer and Robbie Gray, again, all these people with the cash to spend. Mm. Wow. So if you're going for the highest scoring forward, obviously, which one do you like better?
I wish I had both in my team.
Yeah.
Can I swap one of them for Pavlich without using a trade?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Gray was up to 600,000 at one point. I think with North Melbourne's draw, Port Adelaide maybe struggling a little bit. Gray's been playing really good footy over the last month without really getting the scores on the board. I think that's potentially because of Port Adelaide not winning at the moment. And just from that perspective, I think I'd be taking Boomer.
I agree with you. I think Gray I probably see as... You know, 107 looks pretty good for him as an average. I probably see that about being his limit, whereas Boomer, he's averaging 110, and in the last five games, he could average 120. Who knows if he has a good patch of form. So I agree with you there. It's just that he's going to cost an extra 46K. So if you can afford it, go for it.
Jeez, I wish I picked Boomer. But Rioli got injured. Boomer was the same price. He wasn't scoring that well. I let him go, and then he's just gone nuts since then.
Yeah, he was also bye-friendly. I remember that exact decision, Mark. He scored 179 after the bye. It was very painful. And then began the run of Boomer. All right, next question. And it's, again, forward line XVY. Buddy v. Parker. What do you reckon about that one?
Buddy v. Parker. That's a really tricky question. I have both in my team. With Hanbury coming back, I think I'd lean towards Buddy. Yep. Buddy's just been in insane form in the second half of the year, just scoring really well every week. Could have scored even higher against the Hawks if he had a kick straight. Hopefully Hooker shuts him down this week, but I just think Parker's definitely shown that he scored a lot better with Hanbury out of the side, and Hanbury is potentially due back this week.
Agree with you there, Mark, and Franklin is easily looking like, you know, a top five play in the league again, so... Based on that type of form, absolutely. I don't think he should pass a guy like that up. We haven't seen him score the 180 yet, Mark, so maybe that's on the horizon. Who knows?
Is that top five in the league but behind Jakey Carla?
Yeah, he certainly turned things around.
Yeah, no, I'm just being a bit facetious, a little bit excited as a Bombers man.
I got the same feeling when Tommy emerged a couple of years ago. All right, next question is from Rizzo Circo Boy. What are some good value PODs to help you win a league final? So across the board, anybody who catches your eye, Mark. Obviously, Mitchell, for people considering replacements for Hibbard, he's still at 410K.
Yeah, is he a POD anymore?
Oh, yeah, probably not a POD, sorry. He's good value. That's what I was picking on, sorry. Probably not a POD.
What do you think about Simpson as a target for people getting rid of Hibbard?
Yeah, I don't mind him. I think he's mainly attractive because of his price tag. He's fallen all the way down to 437. There was some Carlton supporters a little bit worried. Weren't sure how his scoring was going to go after Walker missed the rest of the season with an injury. But it seems like he's getting, you know, even more rebound, if anything. So, yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, I just think his potential upside at that price, like Hanley was that price 8 weeks ago or whatever, I think that there's a good chance that he might not come good, but I think that's a pretty good gamble to take. Callan Ward would have been a pretty good pick even a few weeks ago. Just keeps pumping out the numbers.
Here's a real smoky for you, Mark, and he's actually doing well. So Duffield, he's in less than 10,000 teams.
I have been noticing his scoring of late. A couple of my opposition league teams have had him.
Yeah, so in the last 8 games, hasn't scored below 82, which is brilliant, obviously, in the back line.
Price?
507K.
Not too bad.
Still cheaper than the Hanley, Swallow, McVeigh types.
And Fremantle do normally have a pretty high-scoring defender in their team. So, yeah, I think if it's the mob.
Jakey Carlisle's in only 10,000 teams.
Did you see Jake Carlisle scored like 2,860 in Supercoach this week? His actual Supercoach.
Oh, right. He made himself captain, must have been.
I'm imagining that he had himself in his team, yes.
Yeah. Oh, another one for you, Mark. Brody Smith. 457,000 in only 10,000 teams.
He should not be a point of difference, and we should have talked him up way more on the show this year. I've got Adelaide mates, and they've been talking him up since the start of the year, and he has lived up to expectations. I know against the Bombers, I think we put Heath Hocking on him. That's how highly we rated him. And he still scored 100. He still managed to get a whole bunch of the ball and make some impact on the game in a loss. So, yeah, I'm super impressed by Brody Smith.
It's going to get better, Mark, because get this. The best team that they play on the run home in terms of ladder position is North Melbourne. So that's a brilliant draw on the run home. West Coast, Brisbane, Richmond, North Melbourne, St Kilda, best in the land that run home. He certainly fits the bill for POD, fits the league requirements in terms of easy opposition.
I think he will get a bit more attention in those last five games. And if he doesn't, coming into finals, you wait for week one, they'll be whacking someone pretty hard on him, because I think he kicked two on the weekend. Definitely had a great season. If you're looking for a massive POD midfielder, still side bottom. Has a huge upside.
Yeah, that's a good one, Mark. Concerned about Collingwood at all?
Massively concerned, and sorry to all the Collingwood supporters out there, but that does make me pretty happy.
Sorry, but that makes me happy.
I can't help but smile when I think about it. But definitely concerned about that. But I've been super impressed with what I've seen from Steele this year. And even in the Essendon game, when they lost by 60 points, he just has got a whole lot of space to himself.
Hearn would be another one, Mark, in less than 8,000 teams. Again, you know, injury and when he was available. Other reasons he's a POD, but he's not scored below 70, apart from his injury-affected game all year, which is pretty good in the defense again. And he's cheap at 450, and he has the potential of going big in one game as well. So he also fits the bill. And I thought I'd cover a few more backline guys, because we didn't actually spend too much time. Did we skip Hibbert?
No, we talked about him like while you would do, depending on how many trades you had left, but we didn't really talk about specifically
options,
which players. Yeah.
Should we just do that one quickly? Your top three picks for replacements for Hibbert?
At this stage, yeah, I guess a lot depends on who you have in your team. I think that Mitchell would probably still be first, just because he does have that upside and he's just so cheap. I think that I probably like Simpson at his price. And if you've got that little bit more cash, I don't mind your selection of Duffield there, mate. I think that's an interesting one.
Pretty interesting in terms of the selections and the options that are available. Unlike a few weeks ago when most of the good options were all pretty expensive, it seems like we do seem to have a few more cheaper value options. So again, yeah, I agree with you. Mitchell, probably because of his price, really like him there. But actually don't mind going for Brody Smith, who we just talked about. I think with his draw, that just sounds really attractive. And with the amount of rebound that he can get, I think that, you know, a 130 game may be on the cards when you need it in finals. So he'd be my second. And then my third to round it off would probably be Hearn. And that's only because I've still got my fingers crossed he'll turn it around. And 70 basement is really not too shabby for Hearn, who we used to know as a guy who can put out the 30s and the 40s.
I'm sick of you talking Hearn up.
He hasn't turned it around, so it hasn't worked very well, obviously.
No, he's been all right. I think he's been a pretty solid pick, and he's turned himself into a really good player from where he was a couple of years ago.
Nick, that still has that X factor in him, or is he all fizzled out by now?
I guess it depends what happens with Cox. No, I think that Nick Nat is still going all right, and I've seen some good teams that have Nick Nat in it as well. Heard Sandy's back this week. That's a huge relief to my team. I just hope. I really need selections to go my way.
All right. I think that wraps up this week's show, Mark. We got a reasonable amount of content out for the week.
How good's Stephen Martin been? That's been insane. Just please, Pav, lift your game this week, mate. I'm really sick of copping your crap scores. I just want my team to do better, mate. It was a bit shattered on the weekend, so I just need a bit of improvement.
We'll be hoping for better things. I think we share a few of these PODs, so Chad Wingard, let's turn that around mainly.
Bloody yeah, turn to shit, just like Port Adelaide. Way off the boil.
You know what they need now, Mark, is a bit of Essendon expertise next year. They'll get one of your coaches down there to teach them the recipe behind not peaking too early, mate. You've figured it out this year, like you said.
I think, well, we have. And I actually predicted that that was the case 3 or 4 months ago when we started a little bit slowly and lost a few games. But you'd think that if anyone would have the fitness sorted out, it'd be Darren Burgess. I'm not sure that that's the problem.
Enjoying the recruit, mate? Have you watched that?
I haven't actually been watching that. I think I saw the first episode, just hasn't been on the TV when we've been watching.
Well, I'm looking forward to catching up with you. We have a small Supercoach get together with the league, so hopefully we can continue celebrating our winning ways, Mark.
Yeah, it'd be good to give shit to a few of the boys for their pretty awful decision making.
All the best this week. Go Geelong. Hopefully we can stay in that top four.
Bombers versus Sydney Friday night. I'm not very confident, but hopefully we put in a good showing. Last time we played them, they jumped us. We were 9 goals up after the first quarter, and then we lost by about 9. We played quite well after that.
Alrighty then. See ya.
See you guys.